Hello and welcome to Conversations. I'm Noah Epstein.
And I'm Olivia Barrios Johnson. Today we'll be talking about Elon Musk and Twitter, our personal engagement with Twitter and social media, and talking with Kayla Duncan, who was a model in the Black Student Union fashion show. First, Noah, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really good. You know, it's a little bit of a windy day out, which, yeah. You know, normally is a bummer, but my Jets had a really good first round draft.
Okay.
Drafting three studs last night, so very excited about that. So yeah, I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing great. It's Friday. It's a beautiful day outside. I'm ready for the weekend. I'm a little bit nervous for finals, but we're going to get through them, and
yes,
all these papers and assignments will get done. So let's just get straight into it.
Let's do it.
So recently, Elon Musk made a big purchase of Twitter for $44 billion, and this has led to some people deciding to leave Twitter and remove themselves from the app because they don't want to be associated with Elon Musk. And there's way much more to get into it. So, Noah, what do you have for that?
Yeah, so it's interesting. Originally, he was offered to buy Twitter, and he was like, no way. He said, no way. And he called owning Twitter a recipe, quote unquote, a recipe for misery. But then he changed his mind, like, shortly after. And this is what he said about the reason why he bought Twitter for $44 billion. I just think it's important to the function of democracy. It's important to the function of the United States as a free country and many other countries, and actually to help freedom in the world more broadly than the U.S. The civilizational risk is decreased the more we can increase the trust of Twitter as a public platform. So here's my translation from that. I think he basically means there are a lot of idiots on Twitter, but they should be able to say whatever they want. Henceforth, freedom of speech. That's
right.
What I think. What do you think about that quote?
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense. And also, when I was doing some research, I saw that there was discussion about Donald Trump getting back on the app. I know that he's also created his own, you know, social media platform. So I think this kind of goes along those lines as well when it comes to people posting certain tweets on Twitter, people not agreeing, people spreading false information. So there's a lot that goes into Twitter and the types of messages that are posted on there. So, you know, this is definitely interesting.
Yeah, sure. I mean, nobody's really surprised that Musk would be in favor of, you know, like, free speech forever. Leftists are obviously upset about it. Right wingers may be happy about it. You mentioned, you know, Donald Trump, who knows if he comes back to Twitter. But where's the line of what people should and shouldn't be able to say on Twitter? Or is there no line?
Right. I feel like this is a tough one. I personally don't use Twitter as much as I use other apps. So I'm still actually trying to figure out how Twitter works and all of that. But I do
know. It's a fun place.
Yeah, but I do know that in terms of journalism in our field, Twitter has become like a really big platform for people to post stories, to post updates on breaking news. So when it comes to what is acceptable to post and not, I don't know. It's rough.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's controversial. I mean, when it comes to, you know, when there are people saying sexist and racist
right.
and awful things, obviously, I don't think that should be allowed. But the way Elon Musk is and the way that quote that I read sounds, it sounds like he's in favor of free speech and that there might be, you know, more chaos on the app. So.
Yeah, and all types of speech, like you said, that might even be problematic and no one would get in trouble for it. So that might be upsetting to other Twitter users as well.
So what did you feel about Elon Musk personally? Because personally for me, I know not that much about him. I know he's obviously the, you know, richest man in the world and billionaire, Tesla, now obviously the owner of Twitter. And, you know, he hosted SNL once. He was, you know, a little bit awkward, pretty awkward, actually. But I don't know that much about him. So what do you know?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I don't know. I just don't really engage with Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos type of people. But I do just know that when it comes to, you know, obviously wealth and the ways in which wealth can kind of give other people benefits and not, I know that's a big thing. And also just, I don't know, like being able to purchase an app, like just the thought of that and what that would mean for users and what that would mean for, you know, other potential billionaires to just begin purchasing and looking into other industries that they can, like, go into. That's something that obviously is going to be on a lot of people's radar now. Like, hey, will we see other people continue to buy up all these businesses and stuff and what that would mean for the future? So, yeah, I don't know too much about him either. but I'm interested to see how this will kind of pan out and what the user engagement will be like once, you know, people accept that he's the owner of Twitter now. It's crazy to say.
Yeah. Twitter is already a chaotic place.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm on Yankees Twitter all the time, and it's extremely chaotic. it'll be interesting to see whether or not it gets more chaotic now that Elon Musk is the owner. Hopefully there aren't more racists, homophobes, bad people on Twitter. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. What do you use Twitter for, Noah?
So, Olivia, I use Twitter mainly for sports. Mm-hmm. And any news that pops on my feed, like mainly sports. I follow like a million sports accounts and, you know, Barstool and all that.
Right.
But anytime I'll look in like the search, like the trending section, and I'll see, oh, this person passed away. Oh, my God. Like, that's how I'll find out. So, but yeah, mainly it is for sports, like every sports trade, signing, highlight. That is all through Twitter. Every article I want to look at, all through Twitter. And I see a lot of politics, but I usually ignore that, to be honest.
Okay.
Like we talked about, there are a lot of, you know, nut jobs on Twitter. So, whether they're far to the left, far to the right, like I don't want to see any of that on my feed, to be honest. So, yeah, that's what I.
Yeah, and you know, I think you bring up a great thing. One thing that I learned was, like, as journalism majors, like I mentioned, you know, Twitter can be good or bad, in terms of, like, maybe because of the short character count, stories can be perceived as differently because you're not explaining full in depth and, like, being mindful of the specific words that you use in a tweet, because depending on that, if it's too vague, people might get a different idea of what your story might be about. So how do you kind of manage that as a journalism major who is covering sports?
That is a really, really good point. I think there has been a lot of times when people have been misunderstood mm-hmm. based off tweets. Obviously, there are a lot of times when they have not been misunderstood and they really mean what they're saying. But I feel like I am very careful in what I tweet. I word my tweets very carefully, read them over several times. And again, I don't say anything about politics. So I think that is really good because I can't be, you know, blasted if I say something poorly. Like, all my tweets are basically about sports or about, like, student media here at Quinnipiac. Even when I go out into the journalism world, I will be very, very careful. I will proofread what I say. Sometimes I even show my friends what I tweet before I tweet, just to make sure that it's all good.
A little peer review.
Yeah, a little peer review. It can't hurt. Yeah. It can only help. So, that's how I handle my tweets.
Yeah, and I think you're right, you know, just trying our best to remain objective, especially on social media, because that digital footprint is there, and you want to make sure it's a positive one.
It's on Twitter, it's on Instagram, it's on Snapchat,
it's everywhere. Yeah, and I also know that some journalists in the field already have expressed that they don't want to use Twitter anymore because of, you know, feeling overwhelmed of the constant cycle to, like, post tweets and also burnout because they're always pressured to, like, give live updates and stuff. So what do you think about journalists maybe going away from using Twitter to, like, get out the news fast and quickly?
That's interesting. I think it makes sense because Twitter can be a harsh place, but I also think that Twitter is where most of their viewers are, probably.
Okay.
So I think that is a very interesting decision. I don't dislike the decision, but I do question it because I feel like if I was a professional journalist, I would definitely want to tweet out everything because then it could be, you know, liked, it could be retweeted so then, you know, everyone's followers can mm-hmm. see. And that's what I love about the retweet button. It's awesome. so I think that is very interesting. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, taking it to, like, a mental health aspect, if something is really, like, starting to get at you and, like, you're feeling very overwhelmed by something, I think there's nothing wrong with taking a step back and getting away from something, especially when it comes to your career because, you know, as journalists, in whatever career you're in, you want to invest your time and give it your all and give it your best, but I think there's also it's important to have a work-life balance and understanding when you're at your limit and you need to take a break. So I think if journalists who have been active on Twitter for quite some time decide that, you know, they don't want to have to always tweet and worry about that, I think that's something that they can decide on their own. But like you said, I do also see, like, the benefit of Twitter because it's so it can reach a lot of different audiences and people can, like, share stories and stuff. So I think there's also the importance of that aspect. But, you know, just emphasizing work-life balance and finding that medium where you can post on Twitter and make sure you're still, you're all right. You're feeling okay.
Twitter can be a very mean place.
Yeah.
Very mean place. I mean, think about it. Professional athletes get blasted on Twitter all the time for doing their job and maybe, you know, not performing well enough for one game.
Mm-hmm.
So when the same thing happens to journalists, when journalists maybe put out an article that viewers, readers don't like, they're going to get blasted as well.
Yeah.
So it goes both ways.
You got to have that, I guess, that tough skin. With social media in general, though, you always got to have that tough skin because haters are going to hate, but comments are going to be made. But, you know, it's, I guess, a part of the media sphere and social media environment.
Another thing, and I'll mention this as we have Caleb Duncan coming on the show soon, I also see a lot of fashion on Twitter, and I know you must see fashion on whether it's Twitter or Instagram. I probably don't see as much as you do, but I see, you know, it was all over Twitter after the Oscars, like the outfits we talked about last episode.
Yeah, yeah.
So what kind of fashion do you see on social media?
Yeah, so normally I would see most of my fashion through Instagram, through different accounts. One in particular is The Shade Room. The Shade Room, they sometimes post like these cool who wore it best type of thing where they'll post two celebrities who have the same outfit and people will comment like, oh, I think this person had it better or this person just styled it in a better way. Or also through other accounts such as Jurly She, I can just see like different outfits put together and how they styled it with different shoes and stuff. Even though I wouldn't consider myself a big fashionista, I am looking forward to like figuring out what my fashion sense is. I think fashion is very interesting that you can play with it and kind of figure out what works for you, what doesn't, and change it up depending on the day or the mood that you're in. So I find that using Instagram, I kind of get inspiration for what types of outfits that I hope to create and maybe see in my own closet stuff that I can use as like stuff to make better outfits even. So that's what I would do mostly on my Instagram for fashion.
Olivia, we are going to talk a lot more about fashion, right?
Yeah, we are, because we are now joined by Kayla Duncan, who was a model in the Black Student Union fashion show. So Kayla, have you always had a passion for fashion?
First, I'd like to thank you guys for letting me be on the podcast. Huge dream of mine. secondly, I think my passion for fashion came about freshman year when I actually came to QU. You know, I was struggling with finding my identity, you know, expression, and kind of just coming from an all-white high school and being one of 11 black kids, I, you know, felt like I was in a box. But coming to college, I found that there was more freedom, more people that looked like me, so I decided to take the chance. And fashion is one of the ways that, you know, I have put on display who I am and, you know, what I'm about.
So last weekend you participated in the Black Student Union fashion show. What did it mean to you personally to participate in an event by the BSU?
This was just another opportunity for me to kind of showcase the thing that I love the most. I think that, you know, being on eBoard for BSU, it kind of was representation for obviously the executive board, and also just seeing another black face out there doing what she loves most and, you know, having the kind of hype from the crowd and, you know, being congratulated after the show. It was just a huge rush, and that meant a lot to me because, you know, it just shows me that this is just the beginning. So
what were some of the looks or outfits that you wore during the fashion show?
One of my favorite looks was actually from Flight Vintage, which is a thrift shop on Dixwell, actually. It was an all-denim outfit with, you know, patches from the brand Harley Davidson. That was one of my favorites. And then I wore, actually, Mode Devi, which is Dior Barnes's brand, a student here on campus, which was another one of my favorites.
So growing up, did you ever envision that you would be this involved in fashion at the college level?
Definitely, definitely. I had my mother dress me for a good part of my life. And, you know, I always still to this day ask her about what looks good, what doesn't, because, you know, she's the one that's going to give me the real of the real. Mm-hmm. I think that from a young age, it wasn't as serious, but now it's just heightened and it's evolving, which is great. And I can't wait to see, you know, what I do next.
So any chance it leads to a career you wish to go into?
Definitely. So I'm getting my bachelor's degree in media studies, but I eventually plan to go into styling. I'm in the process of starting a brand called Genius Gone Clueless. Stay tuned for more. Definitely a career in the future, you know, with fashion, for sure.
Stay tuned for more. Could we get a preview of what it's about, maybe?
Oh, for sure. Genius Gone Clueless will definitely be a brand based on mental health and kind of, you know, the struggles that I've dealt with over the past couple years, and just incorporating, you know, my take on fashion through the lens of, like, you know, dealing with things like anxiety, depression, things like that. So can't say too much, but that's a little preview for you guys.
You heard it first. You heard it first here. No, and I think that's great that you're incorporating your own life aspects. And I think that's one of the amazing things about fashion. I'm not too into it, but I do know that it's really expressive, and you can kind of explain how you want to be seen or what you want to wear and make it, you know, your own. And there's no rules to fashion. It's kind of up to you and your interpretation. Right. So also, Kayla, I know you were featured. This is your second time in the For the Culture magazine for the fashion segment. So can you talk to me about what it was like, you know, taking pictures for it, and what you kind of hoped that readers of the magazine got out of the fashion portion?
Definitely. So to me, I look at it as a future day in the life. It's all in preparation for what's to come. And so being in this a second year in a row just kind of proved to me that, you know, I'm doing something right, and that, you know, people on this campus still see me as, you know, a fashionista. You know, I really appreciated the opportunity to, you know, have that display to showcase, you know, what I do on a day-to-day basis.
So what do you do on a day-to-day basis in terms of clothing, in terms of fashion?
What I like to tell people is that, you know, I like to keep them on their toes. I have many different aesthetics, and, you know, one day you might get, you know, a kid from Cali, the next day you might get Met Gala, and the next day you might get nerd. So, you know, it's all, I like to say fashion is a playground. I'm just here to, you know, use all of the things in the playground, honestly, everything to my advantage.
Is there a favorite outfit that you've worn, like a go-to outfit?
Actually, the one featured in this year's For the Culture magazine in the daytime portion of it, it was a navy blue sweater vest with a checkered button-down man-tailored shirt, a New York fitted hat, and some green cargos with some Vans. And, you know, to the simple eye, you might think that was, you know, kind of just a laid-back fit, but it kind of goes into, like, the mixing the, you know, streetwear style with the preppy, you know, and keeping it simple with the van. So many different elements to one simple outfit.
Well, it's certainly more advanced than my favorite outfit.
So talk to me about, like, your sneaker game, your shoe game when it comes to fashion, and how you kind of incorporate shoes into what you're wearing. Because I know for me, I'm terrible at planning. Like, I have a nice outfit, and then it's like, dang, what shoes am I going to wear now? So how do you go about that?
I keep up with fashion a lot in the media. And so one of the things that I've noticed is that on TikTok, you see a lot of, you know, trends like the Dunks, the Ones, the Fours, Jordan Fours, to be exact. They're, you know, being too hyped in the media. So what I try to do is do the inverse. I go for the more underground sneakers, the sneakers that, you know, aren't looked at so much on social media and things like that. Any sneaker that complements or matches the fit is what I go with on a day-to-day basis. And right now I have on the Converse X CDGs. Just a black little vibe, you know. Nothing too crazy for today.
All right. Three underground sneakers that you go with. Go.
Okay. New Balance 550s. Those are on the come up, but, you know, haven't gotten too much hype, so they're on the low. I'd say the Doc Martin loafers, which are definitely the cherry loafers, which are definitely something that, you know, I've definitely looked into for the past couple weeks. And lastly, I'd probably say Converse are really, you know, they're timeless, and I think that a lot of people wear them, but the collab is what matters. I'm actually researching how to get my hands on the Rick Owen X Converse Dark Stars, so stay tuned for that one as well.
So what advice would you give to young people or people in general who are interested in fashion and haven't really figured out yet their fashion sense and trying to decide what fits for them? What kind of advice would you give them?
This might sound weird, but I'd say stay off of TikTok and stay off of Instagram. I do most of my fashion research through literally just Google. And, you know, everything being hyped in the media is things that I don't want. And that may sound crazy, but I think, you know, a lot of fashion is just looking within, doing some introspection, seeing who you are and what you want to represent. Like I said before, fashion is a playground. So the easiest way to kind of figure out your likes and dislikes is just going into a bunch of stores, thrift shops mostly, and, you know, picking up some items on the way. So
we talk all about Elon Musk, and now Kayla here is saying stay off Twitter.
Right.
Kayla, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, guys. Can't wait to possibly be back.
We love it. If you want to read more or see pictures from the BSU Fashion Show, make sure to check out QUChronicle.com. Also on QUChronicle.com, senior send-offs. Some, like podcast producer Brendan Sampson and myself, are graduating. Olivia, you're not graduating, but you're going to the other side of the world in the fall.
That's right, Noah. This fall, I will be studying abroad in Cork, Ireland, and I'm very excited. I took this opportunity because I figured, why not? Like, this is once in a lifetime. I can study in a different country for 3.5 months, so I'm very excited to see beautiful city of Cork and also neighboring countries and just get a different vibe while I'm studying there and learn about different cultures and backgrounds, and I'm really excited.
I mean, that sounds super exciting.
Yeah, definitely.
Excited about the food, the culture.
The culture, music, meeting different professors, and just literally living independently internationally.
How many classes are you going to be taking?
I think I'm taking 5.
5, okay.
Yeah, so normal Quinnipiac class schedule. But
Do you know the classes yet?
I think one of them is aspects of Irish folklore.
Okay.
So that's like fun. Most of them are like humanities based, some sociology courses, but those will be
I love sociology classes.
Yeah, that's actually my minor. So I'm interested to see what sociology is like in Ireland.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That should be very interesting.
Yeah. And how do you feel that you're about to graduate?
I feel so weird.
Yeah.
It's so like, because I'm 3+1, so I'm graduating, but I'm coming back for my fourth year, my grad year next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm, like, mentally a junior. And I don't know, we also had the time taken away from us from campus
because of COVID.
So, like, the second half of my first year was gone. So, like, I just do not feel like I'm graduating. It came too quickly, right? Way too quickly. But, no, it's cool, though, because I'm proud of, you know, my academic accomplishments in college here at Quinnipiac. So,
you should be.
Appreciate it. But yeah, so it is really cool to graduate. I'm graduating with all my friends, my entire suite, including podcast producer Brendan Sampson. But yeah, it's great. Also, EIC Mike Ciccoli and opinion editor Xavier Cullen and sports editor Riley Millett. So yeah, it's I'm excited.
As we're wrapping up, I do also want to say thank you, Brendan and Noah, for this opportunity to be podcast hosts for this semester. It's been a great opportunity, and I just enjoyed my time here interviewing and talking about many different topics. And I look forward to hopefully getting this chance again to be a co-host in the future.
Olivia, it's been great. I've loved working with you, and
yeah.
I think the movie draft was by far my favorite thing that we
Oh, yeah, the best one to come.
All right, that'll do it for this episode of Conversations. Special thanks to Kayla Duncan for talking to us.
Have a great summer vacation. Conversations will be back in the fall.